Hans Olsen, Scott Girard here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. It's a championship weekend. Hans Olsen in Las Vegas for the Pac-12 championship game. I'm here in Los Angeles getting ready for Utah State and San Diego State coming up tomorrow in the Mountain West championship game. Also in Las Vegas with about 89% of the Zone and KSLSports.com staff. Sam Farnsworth there as well. Sam, how you doing?
Hey, Sam.
Hey, guys. What's going on? I'm doing pretty well. Just got myself some good food in the body, so I'm ready to roll tonight for the football game now.
So I was telling Hans this, that, I was talking to Nate, and you walked into the office, and we were talking about barbecue, and you were like, yeah, you know what? I'm all right. And you kind of had that slide, like, you know, when you know that ringer on the golf course, where he's like, yeah, you know, I play every now and then. And then you get out on the course with him, and he's like a 3 handicap. You kind of gave off that vibe, like you know your way around a smoker a little bit.
Well, I've got my strengths and my weaknesses, that's for sure. I'm always trying to learn some new things, but I feel like I'm pretty good with some of my strengths. I enjoy it. It's definitely a fun hobby, as I know both of you guys love it as well. So what this sounds like is one day we're going to have a huge meet party or something at KSL, right?
That's going to happen, yes.
Meat extravaganza. What's your go-to wood, and what is your go-to cut of meat to cook?
Oh, man. I'm a big fan of ribs, and I know that Scotty's too. I like the back ribs. I feel like I can do those pretty good, but I'm always trying to figure out a way to do them better. Next to that, we just did our turkey. I love doing my turkey spatchcock. So as far as the wood goes, man, I mix it up all the time. Apple seems to be kind of the go-to, especially with the ribs. But I also like some of the competition blends. Cherry, I use cherry with the turkey. It was great. So I'm always nice. Mixing and matching, guys.
Well, you're down in Vegas, as are a lot of the crew at KSLSports.com, KSL-TV, as well as the Zone Sports Network. What's your vibe on this game? There's a lot of Utah fans that know that even though Utah put it on Oregon pretty good a couple of weeks ago, that this game could be quite a bit different. Are you of that belief as well?
Yeah, 100%. I would be shocked if it was anything like the previous game. If Utah comes out fast, quick, putting points on the board the way they did in the first half of their matchup 2 weeks ago, I'd be shocked, honestly. I just feel like, you know, Mario Cristobal is a smart enough coach. His players are smart enough players that they, they've studied the film enough to know, okay, we got to approach things differently on both sides of the ball. You just feel like that they're going to be a much more, I think, physical team. I think that was lacking quite a bit in that game 2 weeks ago. And so that's the number one area where I think they're definitely going to be stepping it up. Is they're going to be more physical, especially at the line of scrimmage where they were just absolutely dominated 2 weeks ago. They can't afford that. Oregon can't. So I expect it to be a lot closer. However, I having said that about Oregon, I do feel similarly about Coach Witt. The guy is a master when it comes to game planning and making whatever adjustments need to be made. He's not going to come with the same look either. I mean, he knows what's going to work, but you have to believe that he's made some adjustments that you would expect Oregon to not be anticipating as well. So I don't think this game's going to be anything like the first. I think it's going to be a lot closer. It's going to be much more physical, but it's definitely going to be fun.
Sam, remind me what year you arrived in this market.
So 2019, May of 2019. Okay. I grew up in the market, but I arrived back here after 13 years in Colorado in 2019.
Okay, so I was wondering, because the 2018 Pac-12 championship game, Washington gets the win. 2019, Oregon mm-hmm. gets the win. And my question to you is, and I'm sure if you weren't covering that, you were at least watching it, and you've watched and followed Kyle Whittingham in his career, because mm-hmm. I know that this – that Utah community means a lot to you. So what do you believe Kyle Whittingham needs to do to kind of get over the hump of losing in these Pac-12 championship games?
That's the question, the golden question here, right? Coach Witt knows what it takes to have signature wins, right? That those came back when they were still in the Mountain West. When you think of especially the Sugar Bowl in 08 against Alabama. I mean, that was an absolute just signature win for not the franchise, the program for University of Utah and for Coach Witt. But since then, yeah, it's been a tough row in the Pac-12 at times. So I just think that overall, I'm a believer that like I said before, Coach Witt, he learns from experiences in the past. And I know 2019, I don't remember the 18 game, but the 19 game, I remember I was here in Salt Lake City, and that was just not at all what I was anticipating. UConn did not look good there at all. So for the Utes to win this game, I'm going to turn it to my take is that it's a Cam Rising. They're on offensively, he's been so efficient this year. His decision making and sorry guys, I got distracted there for a second. His decision making has been great this year, but he's going to have to take some risks. Okay, I don't think he's that big of a risk taker. You've seen 17 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He has a high completion percentage, and I think that in part, not only because he's a great decision maker, but because he's a safe decision maker. He's going to have to take a few more risks offensively, I think, to get Utah to move the ball offensively and get in the end zone. But I think Cam Rising is going to be the key in this game. I know Utah's bread and butter is that run game. But, again, I just got a feeling that it's going to really ride on, you know, Cam Rising's got to put this team on his back offensively.
From what this team has gone through to be playing in a conference championship game, Hans and I were talking about this yesterday with Frank Dolce. It just felt like after the BYU and the San Diego State game that this was a team that just was in a situation where it was going to be a fight for maybe bowl eligibility this year, let alone going on to win a conference title. Considering where they were at in September and where they're at now, who do you feel like deserves the most credit? Is this a Kyle Whittingham thing? Is it senior leadership? I mean, where does this come from?
I think a lot of it has to do with the senior leadership, the team. So here, you guys have probably talked about this on your show in the past, you know, when they made that quarterback change. And I'll give credit to the coaches for making that change at the time they needed to. I know, you know, especially like Scott Mitchell, he sings the praises of the way Charlie Brewer played in fall camp and how he outright won that job, even though it was a very tight competition. But the players, they have had their trust and belief in Cam Rising from the get-go. There's a reason why he was voted as a team captain before the season even began. And you saw once they made that switch, and I know I'm going all the way back to week 3 here, but once they made that switch in that San Diego State game, you saw a difference in that team. The belief went up. The confidence went up in everyone, not just the offense, and in defense as well, because they saw a different swagger, a different attitude on that field. So I'll give credit, to both a little bit. You know, the coaching staff are making the needed adjustment at that time of the season, a critical time when they had to make that adjustment, but also in the team leadership and the players for their belief in who they voted for as their team leaders, for getting behind them and kind of riding those horses to this point now in the Pac-12 championship game.
Sam, what day did you get into town, and have you seen a lot of Utah fans? I know I've been milling around quite a bit around town and down in the lobby and out on the streets a little bit. You're seeing a lot of Utah Red. Have you seen quite a bit? And what do you think that the fan involvement, what role it might play in tonight's game?
I think it always can play a big role at neutral sites, right? And Las Vegas, we know how BYU fans love coming down here. Well, Utah fans love to come down here as well. This is not a far destination. It's an easy place to get to. You can drive down. I mean, we drove down yesterday in our KSL sports truck, and on our way down, I saw several people driving with their Utah flags in the windows and a few people, you know, flashing the U sign at us as we drove by. I told this to Scotty and Alex yesterday, but there's an exit, you know, just past St. George in the Mesquite area, I think, called the Ute exit. And some Utah fan stopped on the side of the road and put a red block U over the U on the sign for that exit. So you know they're coming down here. You know they're going to be here in mass, and they're going to be loud. And I think it's a it's an easier trip for Utah fans. I'm not trying to build excuses as to why they should be here, but it seems like it's an easier trip for them to get here. So they should be here. And I would anticipate there being, if not 50-50, definitely in favor of Utah, the crowd atmosphere.
Yeah, no doubt. Sam Farnsworth, kind enough to join us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. So set the scene for us. What's the coverage look like on KSL-TV and what you got going on?
It's going to be fun. So we were live here yesterday in the news, but for tonight at 10 o'clock, we've got Jeremiah live out there in California for the Mountain West Conference Championship, and then it'll basically be between me and him. One of us will toss to the other from California to Vegas or vice versa, and we'll have both games covered up nice and well tonight at 10, and then, of course, Sports Beat all weekend. We're going to go heavy with both of these games as well.
Wow. Awesome. Well, Sam, we appreciate
it, man. I'll see you over the stadium, Sam.
I'm excited. Looking forward to it.
You're the best, Sam. Appreciate it. Sam Farnsworth, KSL Sports, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Part of The Zone, KSLSports.com, KSL TV coverage of what should be a really, really fun game coming up tonight. Alex Carey will be hosting our pregame show from 5 to 6. And then, Hans, you and I are going to hop on, even though I'm here in Los Angeles and you're in Las Vegas. We'll hop on and have a little bonus Hans and Scotty coverage on the postgame show breaking this game down.
I like it, man. We need to join some forces and get a little bit of postgame coverage going on that thing for sure. And we'll open up some phone lines. We'll get you all the audio coming from the coaches and give you all the different insights that we can give you. Probably check in with PK, I would imagine, just depending on if Utah wins or loses, there might be a time change on that. And it's going to be extensive, and we'll have a blast covering it. Scotty, I'm excited about it.
Well, all this championship coverage brought to you by our good friends at The Warehouse. You can get that memory foam pillow. Great prices there, as low as $17.99. It's at The Warehouse, 1825 South, 300 West. But enough of me running my mouth about The Warehouse. You want to hear from Tom. Tom, how you doing?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Hey, Hans, Scotty, how are you?
Oh, doing great now. Absolutely.
Well, I'm just here all ready for your listeners to come and visit us today. And let's go Aggies. That's the most important thing this weekend. I'm going to make it worth your while to come see us. Ashley Furniture, if you're out there shopping for some Ashley pieces, bring us the item number, and we guarantee that we'll be the best price in Utah. We'll beat any price, period. We also have a bunch of new sectionals and sofas. Just got a new truckload. Beautiful stuff. Lowest prices ever. Come and see us. How about bunk bed for us? $179. It's regular $499. And let's don't forget, if you will mention Scotty or Hans, I'm going to give you 20% off anything in the store that has a boom price on it. And that's typically 30 to 50% off the best price in town. So come and see us. Local company, we need your business. Let's go.
Boom, indeed. Let's go. Come on down. Hang out with Tom and the crew. Again, it's all there for you at The Warehouse. Easy to stop by, 1825 South, 300 West. Tom's ready to hook you up. It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
It's been a wild ride for Blake Anderson and the Utah State Aggies as the Aggies have punched their ticket to the Mountain West Conference Championship game. The Aggies head to Southern California to square off against San Diego State for their first ever Mountain West title. Catch all the play-by-play action this Saturday, beginning with the Aggie pregame show at noon, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone in the Zone Sports Network.
97.5, 1280 The Zone, championship weekend coverage. We got pretty much everybody on the staff except for maybe Lloyd and myself in Las Vegas. I'm here in Los Angeles. You got Utah, Oregon tonight, and then you've got Utah State and San Diego State coming up tomorrow. Helping anchor the coverage, Patrick Kinahan's also there in Las Vegas. PK, how are you?
Yeah, no, Scotty, I'm doing real well. How the heck are you?
Table's treating you all right?
Yeah, I do have news, a little update for you. Seamless has been renamed to the Inferno Cabaret.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And let me just say, it is a cabaret and it is an inferno.
Oh man! Hey, so Hans,
what was Seamless originally?
So,
what was it?
So Hans,
Scotty's stopping grounds.
No, you take that back. We got family listening to the show. So I worked out back when we ran things a little fast and loose back at the old place. I would work out some advertising trade agreements with our good friends at the Orleans, and they would provide rooms for all of our guys, and we'd run, you know, some promotional materials for them and some stuff like that. We had a nice agreement laid out. Well, so there for what, PK, maybe like 3 or 4 years, it seemed like we were the Orleans was our second home.
Oh yeah, and then, yeah. I actually liked that hotel. It was nice.
And then, nice might be a little bit of a stretch there, but. Anyway, you'd look out, and it was right next to a gentleman's club at that time called Seamless. And I think PK probably had like the best line. We were there. What was it like the day after I don't know if it was like, some kind of was it Christmas or New Year's or something like that. And, some guy's walking out of there at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And you're like, you know what, if you're walking out at 1 o'clock in the afternoon it means you're not in a great place in your life right now.
Then you guys realized it was the program director of the old 1280.
I don't know.
It wasn't Kevin Graham, no.
But did he have a lazy eye that leaked?
Oh, jeez.
I went to pick up my credential yesterday, and I MapQuested how to get back to the Palms where we are now, and it takes you right by the road that was between Seamless and the Orleans. So I just saw that I can honestly say I've never been inside, nor do I have any intention to.
So, PK, is this the time that Kyle Whittingham gets over the hump, gets his first Pac-12 championship?
Oh, yeah, I think it is, man. This is the biggest win that they could have, but it is also the most disappointing loss if they should get it. There's no in-between. It's either way. Best win ever, go to the Rose Bowl, win the conference, in only your 11th year, which I think is a great accomplishment if you should get it done. And then because of the fact that you have been playing so well with Cam Rising, have only had one slip up, and you dominated, absolute full-out domination 13 days ago against Oregon, you add all those things together, and if you should lose, which I don't think they will, but if they do, it would be the most disappointing loss. I mean, it would just be crushingly heartbreaking.
What's hard for me is I look at this Utah team, and if they do beat Oregon again and win a Pac-12 championship, it's still going to be the season of what ifs. Looking back and being like, what if, you know, San Diego State? What if BYU? What if Oregon State? What if, was this the year that they had the talent? Could they have done it?
I don't know. I don't know if they could have, because they were intent on going with Brewer. And I just didn't think he had the it factor, and I don't know that what it is, because, you know, I'm not a big quarterback dude. But being around both those guys, being around Rising longer, I felt like he had Southern California swag of I got this. So certainly that could have made a difference. I don't know that it would have. But I also think, too, with the fact that they needed to figure out Tavion Thomas, they needed to figure out Pledger, and even Bernard to an extent, because of the tragic death of, what's the kid?
Aaron Lowe. Ty Jordan.
Ty Jordan, yeah. Because of Ty Jordan's passing, you know, if they would have come into the season with Ty Jordan, they would have been, I think, the overwhelming favorite. because he was really good. And Utah's had several NFL running backs, but nobody, as far as I've been here since 93, was as good as he was as a freshman. Or if they would have had Zach Moss coming back, obviously. But because they had such uncertainty, I think they needed time to figure that out. Now, they end up losing to two of those games, obviously, to San Jose State and BYU, who have been in the rankings virtually the whole season. Mm-hmm. What are they, 10-2 and 11-1?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you
those
lost both of those games. No. And one of them was a stupid bleep rule with a two-point conversion. I mean, who's to say, you know, if they would have played real football, at least real football, college football overtime rules, but they concoct that dumb thing. And the BYU thing, I'm not going to say they would have won because that's unfair to the Cougars, and people get all upset on that. BYU won the game. Good for them.
And they did it soundly.
Yes, they did it, and it wasn't a fluke, as you say, Hans. Mm-hmm. So I don't know about that. And then you get in the conference play, and, yeah, Oregon State isn't as good as Utah, but nevertheless, in the 11 years in the conference, no team has gone 9-0. Every team has had at least one slip-up. I'm talking about the two division winners and the team that wins the ultimately wins the conference final game. So there was going to be a slip-up there, and it was Oregon State. Good on them. So I think that, you know, next year might be a different situation because there shouldn't be nearly as many questions next year, particularly at the running back where Thomas was fumbling and he was in and out of the lineup. They didn't really know what they had. Once they hit their stride, then we know what they've had, and they've been awesome.
Patrick Kinahan, you hear him every morning from 6 to 10 right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. All right, so every now and then there's something that I don't know if it starts on Twitter and then it just kind of takes hold out there, but there's been this kind of vibe out there that this might be it for Kyle Whittingham, and even a couple of reporters, national guys, have kind of thrown it out there in hopes of throwing something against the wall and seeing if it sticks. Do you buy any of this?
I do not buy this year, meaning this is his next to last game. I mean, I reserve the right for him to change his mind.
Yeah.
But in some conversations that I've had with Kyle the last month or so, he hasn't told me I'm in, I'm out. I'm not saying that. But from conversations of talking about stuff on the field and off the field, in the football program, out of the football program, leads me to believe that he's coming back next year. A year from now, it might be another story, might entirely be another story, because he just turned 62 about 2 weeks ago, and obviously next year in November at the end of the season he would turn 63. His father passed at 64 on the operating table, and that has obviously a profound effect on someone who has stated a million times, he is my mentor, he is the closest coaching advisor to me, all those things. There was a spiritual element when he was deciding between BYU and Utah that involved his deceased father. Now, I'm only bringing that up to illustrate the impact that Fred had on his son, his oldest child. The reason why I say that is because I think Kyle wants to experience other things in his life with his grandchildren, with his family, with hobbies that he's developed on the golf course, losing to certain geeks who shouldn't beat him but do, those types of things that he wants to pursue. So I don't think this year, start talking about it next year.
Does a I'm sorry, Hans. Do you think a Rose Bowl win changes any of that?
You know, I was thinking about too. You've got the Rose Bowl win. He's got everything else that's added to the compliment, and he's already out coached Bronco Mendenhall.
Oh, in duration. In duration.
Yeah. Who would have thought that? I mean,
he has outcoached President Mendenhall. You're right.
I do wonder if he's looking at it like, hey, look, if Bronco can leave this, hey, at least I can say I lasted longer in the profession than he did.
Well, Bronco's going to coach the bowl game, so he'd have to come back.
Yeah.
So Kyle would have to come back. But I'm going to allow him to reserve to change his mind because he's earned that right. He's on top of the world. He'll go – he's already – the most successful Utah coach in Utah football history. I mean, I think that's obvious, right?
Yeah.
And so I don't know that winning the Rose Bowl is like, oh, I've done it all now. I just think that he enjoys as he said Monday, what he's doing. And he's got it oiled down. It's a machine. And the team stands to be good next year. I mean, I realize Lincoln Riley is a combination of Bill Parcells, Bill Belichick, and Vince Lombardi, and who else? Nick Saban, whoever you want in there. But I don't know that he can work miracles next season. So my point is that Utah, when we get down to Pac-12 Media Day next July, the Utes should be the overwhelming favorite in the way they were in 2019, at least to win the South. And if Cristobal takes off to go to Miami, which is all these rumors are out there just flying high right now as we speak, you know, he would be the overwhelming favorite to win the conference. So why not do it next year unless you've got some overriding reason that says no?
97.5, 1280 The Zone. That's Patrick Kinahan as Utah gets set to square off against Oregon. How do you feel like this game plays out? Because I think I was talking to a lot of Utah fans at the airport this morning that were heading down to Las Vegas. And, boy, there is a high level of trepidation going into this game where they feel like, hey, just because they got the blowout victory 2 weeks ago doesn't mean anything. And I agree with that, although I still feel like if Utah plays a really good game, they should win this game. But how do you think this thing plays out tonight?
I think that, I assume you guys would agree, that it needs to be along the lines of a classic Utah game. We talk about how when we see the Jazz win, they play Jazz basketball, and all of us follow the Jazz intently, right? So we know what Jazz basketball is. The same thing with Utah. And we know that they're going to need to run the ball well. We know that they're going to have to stop the run. We know that their special teams needs to be far more consistent. I mean, it's amazing that this season has been all over the map. Obviously, Covey, who was just named, I think he was named this here like in the last hour, the Pac-12 Scholar Athlete of the Year. The kid is just amazing. He practically walks on water. Man, he's been really good in the punt returns. But the punt team has had, what, three blocked? They got lucky on the one on Oregon because, well, two guys are wearing the same jersey number. And Arizona got them. Oregon State also, I think I said Oregon, but I meant Oregon State. Oregon State got them two in that game also. They already have blocked one. And the punts haven't been as good. Kicking, they've changed kickers a couple of times. So that's been a little inconsistent there. They can't afford to screw that up. So the classic way that Utah wins football games, we're going to dominate you up front, and we're going to show that we're tougher, which is really amazing because their coach, he claims to be tough, but I think he's a softy cream puff.
I would agree on that. So, you know, PK, I was thinking about this. Another thing that's going to be important in this, and we've seen it in a couple of different areas. Like I was watching that Oregon-Oregon State game, and Oregon jumped up on Oregon State, and Oregon State panicked and didn't look like the Oregon State team that I'd seen any parts of against Utah.
Couldn't run the ball at all.
Yeah, and then I go back to Oregon versus Utah the first time. Oregon panics, and they don't look anything like that Oregon team that I just watched against Oregon State.
Yeah, interesting.
And so you can't let panic set in, and you have to stay close to your identity. If, let's say, Oregon does get a punt block for a touchdown or, you know, a surprise onside kick that gives them an extra possession or an interception that puts them in the red zone and an opportunity to score quickly, and they jump up 17-3 or something. Utah just can't panic. They can't go away from exactly what you just talked about, their offensive functionality. They can't try to recreate themselves and be like, all right, we got to get the wideouts involved.
Vele,
everybody, it's everybody on deck. Now let's just get this thing aired deep and try to get some protection. No, you can't. If you start seeing them going away from their identity, then it's panic. And if you panic in a Pac-12 championship, we saw that against Washington in the closing minutes. What was that, an overtime and a weird timeout, and Chris Peterson gets ticked off, and it felt like Utah just got out of there. Even though it felt like a Utah-style game, it just felt like Utah got out of their minds a little bit at the back end of that game. And same with Oregon in that Pac-12 championship. They just got to stay close to their identity. Don't panic. Have some. You know, decent adjustments and audibles and ways to go about things, but you cannot get away from that identity.
And I don't think they will. I think Ludwig offensively has got a handle on what Kyle wants, what he wants, and Kyle has given him as much freedom as anybody he's given outside of maybe Norm Chow for that one season when they were back in the early stages in the conference. So I think that they're going to do what they're going to do. That, and I think they're going to have some different type plays that maybe we didn't get to see against Oregon because in the second half there, that game was solved. So there was no need to get anything but vanilla and just run out the clock, which is obviously what they did, complete and total domination that they had there. So that's what I expect them to do. I expect them to be able to go toe-to-toe. I also expect Oregon to give a much better performance. And so with that, then I wonder, okay, they give a – Oregon, let's assume for sake of argument, they give a much better performance. In my mind, with that assumption, I still believe the Utes can handle that much better performance. It's not like, oh, my gosh, if Oregon plays their best game, we, speaking of the Utes, have really got to be on our game. I mean, you got to be on your game to win. I understand that. But it's not like they have to play out of their minds if Oregon suddenly plays its best game of the season. I still think the Utes have enough to minimally stay with them. Mm-hmm. Maybe they can have enough to withstand them. But I don't think that, assuming for the sake of argument, if Oregon is much better than they were 13 days ago, that that just means the Utes are in trouble.
So I don't know if there's anybody in this market that's covered Bronco Mendenhall more than you, PK, back to the Gary Croton years when he was defensive coordinator. You kind of knew he did things on his own terms, and it's surprising but also not surprising that out of the blue he'd be like, you know what, and I'm done. What are your thoughts on the news yesterday?
Well, if Bronco doesn't surprise you, that's surprising. Because that's who he is, right? This guy, I have covered, I can't even name all the coaches at the pro and college level. And I got to say, he's a cat that doesn't fit in with any of them. I can't relate him to anybody. You know, I can relate like a Kyle Whittingham to a Jerry Sloan with the toughness and all that. You know what I mean? And you can see those parallels there. But Bronco, I can't put him in any category that I can say, oh, he was like, he reminds me of fill-in-the-blank coach. You know, Steve Cleveland left years ago in basketball because he got this phenomenal opportunity in Fresno, and it was home. Bronco ups and leaves and goes all the way across the country. And we know that he was stifled by BYU in a lot of different ways, and he wanted to get to a place where he could breathe and not be just bombarded every time he went out, right? That's not who he was. He wasn't really comfortable. Whereas Kalani can work a crowd as well as anybody. He's comfortable in that situation. So you knew whatever Bronco was going to do, it was going to be surprising, and it was going to be different. And that's exactly what he does, and that's exactly what he did in this case. So it was, I was surprised when I saw it because he's only 55 years of age. But at the same time, when you step back, you start to think, this is who Bronco is. And then he uses it and explains it in his jilted language that only Bronco can do, redefine, revamp, re-energize. And he used butane in there, you know what I mean? And he and his wife got to find themselves. I mean, they're going to go on like an African safari here the week after the bowl game. Who knows what he's going to do? He's going to surf in Peru and move down there and learn Spanish or something.
And eat dehydrated food. Apparently.
Yes, freeze-dried. Where was he going with that,
I have
man?
No idea. I have no idea, man.
Thanks for bringing that up, too. I mean, crazy. I saw that thing. This is Bronco Mendenhall. I actually loved covering Bronco Mendenhall when I worked all those years for the Watchdog because he was brutally honest. And he told me, he said, anytime you want to have an interview with me in my office, just let me know. And I said, well, you know, why are you being so willing and cooperative? He says, because so many people say, Bronco, I need 15 minutes of your time, and then 45 minutes later we're still there, and that just irritates me. He says, when I talk to you, if you say, hey Bronco, I need 10 minutes, you're done after 10 minutes. And if he has that trust in you, you've got it made. And I always felt that it was a compliment for me, and these were little things that I enjoyed, is that he trusted me and he felt like I was a man of my word. And in this business, especially now, but even back then, a man of your word or a person of your word is something that's really important. So I loved covering the guy, and he's an odd duck, but I wish him nothing but the best.
Well, with that, PK, we appreciate it, man. Good
Thanks,
coverage.
Thanks, PK.
Leading up to the game, of course, during the game as well, and we'll chat with you in post-game as well.
Yeah, I just hope they have some good high-definition places, TVs are where I'm going to go here tonight.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I'm going to the stadium.
Look, as long as you got the $1 bills and you can call us after the game, we're good to go.
We're going to be in the post game, and we'll call PK, and we're going to hear the ding, 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 ding in the background.
And a little pour some sugar on me. Yeah.
No,
yeah,
that's because
coins hitting the tray.
No, that's because I went and put I put $5 on the Utes to beat the Buckeyes in a Rose Bowl.
Nice little futures.
Nice. Thanks, PK.
All right, see you guys.
97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Joined now by the head coach of the Utes, Kyle Whittingham, headed back to the conference title game for the third time in 4 years. The first time, I think congratulations would be in order because you're achieving something new and it's accomplishment, it's hard work, and you get there. Does it feel different the third time?
First of all, I'm proud of our guys for being able to win the South, which is obviously the first step to getting to that championship game. And without that, you know, you can't do it. So I thought our guys did a great job this year of fighting through a lot of tough situations. And we fell short the first two. And, you know, our goal from the onset this season was to win the Pac-12 title, and so now we've got an opportunity to do that. And so we're excited to be there, but we have unfinished business right now, and so our objective, obviously, is to try to go get that trophy.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
And Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. I'm here in Los Angeles. Hans is in Las Vegas. It's Champion Week coverage as we bring you blowout the budget coverage of Utah and Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game and Utah State scoring off against San Diego State coming up tomorrow in the Mountain West Conference championship game. It's all brought to you by The Warehouse. Get a queen head-up, foot-up, adjustable frame and mattress. Only three left. Normally that bad boy goes for $2,400. It's championship game price. Now it's $799. Tom's hanging out with us live from the warehouse. Tom.
Hey, I'm going to do a Scotty and Hans special. And you know what? I'm going to throw Lloyd in there because Lloyd is the one that makes this all happen. You come in and mention Scotty, Hans, or Lloyd, and let's break it out even bigger. Just mention The Zone, and we'll give you 20% off our regular best boom price in town. And that's a price that's typically 30 to 50% cheaper than everybody else. We'll also do something special for you, too. We know Christmas is a time when finances are tight. Well, I can give you 90 days same as cash. This is financing where no credit is needed. You can come in and just have a job and have a checking account. We'll get you approved. 90 days, same as cash. So you can get through the holiday and pay it off by, call it middle of February, and you'll have no issues with no interest. We've got lots of deals to give you if you want to come in and take advantage of that financing. I've got this new shipment of sectionals, love seats, sofas at the best prices ever. And don't forget, we will beat any price on Ashley Furniture. So if you're out there shopping, bring us the item number. We get it from the same warehouse, has the same factory warranty, and we are the best price in Utah, guaranteed.
Go to the warehouse. Now's the time to take advantage of it. Boom! All kinds of great prices, all kinds of great savings going on right now. You know how to get there. Go by and see Tom, 1825 South 300 West. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.